I kind of dealt with issues of lust, got into, you know, pornography very hard. My daily routine after work, I would come home, look on YouTube, you know, watching this particular lady. I would notice night after night, this one video just right there in the suggested, like totally out of place. It should not have been there. And no matter what other video I clicked, I would ignore it, click another video, it would still be there. It just kept following me. It was like that video was meant for me.
Seeing. So you're telling me God can control the algorithms?
Obviously he can.
Come on.
That's so good, man.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner. And Wendy, what you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you?
Bad boys.
I'm sorry. I can't get it out of my head because that show Cops and all the stories. And today's guest has got lots of stories because he's very, very unique. Yes. He's not only a cop, he's a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And he's taking stories and he's bringing incredible insight and intrigue into stories that bring people closer to God.
That is so true. Our guest today is Jaron, which on the show, I think we called him Jaron, his real name is Jaron Lockridge. It's spelled the same way, but Jaron. And Jaron, he's like Todd said, he's a police officer, a filmmaker, a writer, director, and founder of Cinema Ministry Productions. From an early age, he developed a passion for storytelling and filmmaking, eventually producing independent films while building a career in law enforcement. His unique background has given him a front row seat. It really has, to both the struggles and resilience of people facing some of life's most difficult challenges.
And a lot of these stories come from his own life, and we're going to get into that. But after this life-changing encounter with God, Jaron felt called to redirect his creative talents away from secular storytelling and toward projects that share the gospel and the hope of the gospel. So that calling led him to create faith-based films and series that explore real-life issues such as brokenness, shame, redemption, and healing through the lens of God's grace.
Yeah, and so today, Jaron is best known for his work on House for the Broken. It's a series inspired by personal experiences and stories that he has witnessed firsthand. And through his films, ministry, and speaking, he is passionate about creating authentic, emotionally honest, and that's what I love too, it's emotionally honest content that helps people discover hope, healing, and purpose in Christ. Enjoy the show. Well, hello, Jaron, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. It's great to have you.
I'm glad you could have me on today.
So right before we got recorded, I had to tease him a little bit because he's very unique. Jaron is just different because how many times are you going to run into a cop who's a filmmaker?
Not too often.
If you just did stories about, you know, your police work, that would be, that'd be another whole series. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the breakthroughs that you've experienced in your own life and the breakthroughs that you encourage people to have as well. So I tell you what, every breakthrough story's got like a before and an after. So tell us what happened in your life, Jaron, that changed the direction that you were headed and then ultimately led you to where you are today.
It's a long story. I grew up in a Christian household, so I've always been in church and, you know, familiar with everything that goes on with it. But I would say that I wasn't intentional with my relationship with him to the point that I should have been. So, growing up, I eventually found my way into law enforcement in 2010, graduated the academy, and, you know, seeing all of this carnage and, you know, as a police officer, you see people on their worst days for a living.
So I'm just curious though, Jaron, what was it that motivated you to start pursuing, you know, the police academy?
It was, I've always been a creative. So looking back now, it kind of feels like it was steps aligned by God, because I had no reason to be interested in being a police officer.
You had no reason to be interested. And I think that's probably, you know what, that's probably a line that that's a lot hilarious. Of people could say. I got no interest in being a police officer.
I had no interest in it. Yeah. And I just started to have like this, I've always been a protector at heart. But I just started to have this pull toward law enforcement that made no sense whatsoever. And yes, I applied for it. Little small department in Whiteville, Tennessee. It was a little 9-man department. And I mean, it's one of those where you're out patrolling by yourself for 12 hours, like no backup. Wow. And a lot of experiences with that. And, you know, I started off in this rural place, even though the call volume was low. You see a lot of brutal wrecks, like, a lot of fatality wrecks and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, you kind of, even though it's a small, slow department, you kind of start to see like, okay, this job is going to be different. You know, you experience stuff that, you know, most people don't experience in a lifetime, probably on the daily. Eventually. I ended up going to another department, a bigger department, and just, you know, that stress of dealing with so much stuff, you know, like you would see, you could go from a dead child call where, you know, most people have weeks to deal with that, but, you know, you got to go back in service to the next call. And if you go to the next call, you kind of can see how like a lot of police officers explode, because you're having to pack all that in, you know, constantly. You have to suck it up, reset your slate, go to the next call like nothing happened. And, you know, after years and years of doing that, it can kind of get harmful. I ended up finding an outlet of filmmaking. Writing and creating films, and that ended up being an outlet for me to get away from the job.
To release the stress. Yeah. But you started out, Jaron, in secular filmmaking, correct? And so what did God do in your heart that made you willing to change course and fully embrace like a gospel-centered direction?
Yeah. I started off making secular films, and was very successful because as an independent filmmaker, one of the things that, you know, I had to do was find a way to make my films without financiers. So I would self-produce the films for like pennies.
Wow.
But a lot of that was because I did the crew part myself. I learned how to do the main three aspects of it that cost the most money. So it saved me on the front end. And I was profiting like 13 times my budget that I was putting in on the film. So I was starting to become a very successful filmmaker in this space. And what ended up happening, I came to this point where I was in a crisis of faith. I had something happen to a close relative that it was a question that I couldn't answer. It like rocked me to the source. And
can we dive into that? Are you open to that?
Well, that's with that particular relative there, the groans. I don't want to kind of put that out in the light at the moment. But, you know, it just reminded me personally of, you know, the parable of the sower. And I noticed, you know, after the fact that my faith was very surface level, it hadn't taken root. And, you know, the first time that something like that rocked me to the core, it almost threw me off of the faith. And, before this point, you know, I kind of dealt with issues of lust. I've gotten into, you know, pornography very hard, mostly as an outlet, because, you know, it was a time there in the midst of all this where, you know, my wife, she was also dealing with stuff. She has a traumatic past, and, you know, selfishly and not understanding her totally at the time. Like, I just, you know, you're either going to cheat or you're going to find another way to deal with that. So I was like this, you know, and this became my teddy bear. And, you know, that became bad for me. And I noticed, like, I would come home, my daily routine after work, I would come home, look on YouTube. And my thing was, you know, watching this particular lady. She would do camping and stuff in her swimsuit. It's all I would watch when I got off. I had the same routine. And I would notice that there was this video that out of everything else that YouTube was suggesting, it was this video there that was just totally out of whack. And like, I'm in mid faith crisis at this point. Like, I'm like, is he real? Is he not? You know, I'm just waddling in the wilderness at this point. And I would notice night after night, this one video just right there in the suggested, like totally out of place. It should not have been there. And no matter what other video I clicked, I would ignore it, click another video, it would still be there. It just kept following me. It
seemed. So you're telling me God can control the algorithms?
Obviously he can.
Come on.
That's so good, man.
And one day I was like, man, why is this video showing up? And I just decided to click it. And it was a video from Philip Anthony Mitchell. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. But it's this pastor in Atlanta. And I mean, he talked directly to exactly what I was dealing with. He talked directly to what I was struggling with. I mean, it was like that video was meant for me. And I remember feeling so convicted that night that I prayed. And like overnight, God removed all of that desire, moved everything.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
A confirmation for me of everything that I'm dealing with. And now that I look back, I see like all along where, you know, even though I was going through what I was going through, God was always there. Like I'm starting to see those signs. So that's when I felt also the conviction of, okay, you've been doing this secular music. You've been successful doing it. But, you know, I've blessed you with these talents to glorify me. So, I mean, it was an instant decision. It was no debate about it. I didn't go back and forth. And I decided that I was going to make Christian content. I was just going to make nothing. But if it didn't glorify him, I wasn't going to do it. And that's when I decided to rebrand my company to Cinema Ministry. I made an announcement that what I was going to do, that I was going to stop making my films with my old company, and now this is my new focus, and that's been the goal ever since. And it started off with this new series that I'm in preparation of releasing, and getting ready to release in July, House for the Broken, and producing more projects with the sole focus of just showing a side of Christianity that probably doesn't get seen a lot. You're starting to see a lot of faith-based films peer into that side of it. But I really want to focus on the suffering aspect of the Christian.
Yeah,
you see the glossy,
the authentic reality.
Yeah, I want to show the reality. I want to show the authenticity and the hard parts that we face.
Yeah, because you've got so much from your own personal experience that you can bring to, you know, to others to help enlighten. But I just got to put a quick little pause here because I'm still fascinated about how God kept inserting that YouTube video. And so what it tells us is that God's love for us is so incredible that he will just chase us down and he'll do whatever he needs to do to get our attention. I mean, he obviously had gifted you, anointed you, and appointed you, and you weren't there yet. So he had to grab your attention. But I would just, and it all happened so instantly for you, which I think is just the miracle side of God. But just talk to that person right now, Jaron, who might feel a little stuck with some sort of a habit or a behavior or an addiction in their life. They feel like there's just no way out. Can you give them some encouragement about how God can come to their aid?
Well, for me, it took realizing it. It took being able to humble yourself and ask him to help you with it. It was a point there for the longest. I was like, you know, it's either this or cheat on my wife. This is normal. Like, what's wrong with, you know, this guys talk about this all the time. There's nothing wrong with this. So I never had a mindset that what I was doing was wrong or sinful. So when I finally, I guess the mirror was put in front of my face and I saw it for what it really was, is when I humbly accepted that and asked God to help me with it. So I would say if you're struggling with anything, anything can become an idol. Anything can become an idol. If that's your focus, if that's taking you away from doing what you could be doing for him, it's an idol for you. And he will remove that if you humbly ask him. So a lot of that, I would just tell somebody first, you know, take accountability of it, be able to see it for what it is, and then ask him to remove that for you. And I can say firsthand that if you humbly ask him, you mean it truly from your heart, he will meet you right where you are.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah.
I love it, Jaron. And honestly, the Holy Spirit nudged you to click on that video, you know? I mean, because I will say that pastor is smart. He's got the algorithms going in the search engines to go to the right place. But I'm thinking about people and their pain, because we all deal with pain at some point or time. And I think people are looking for a way to soothe that pain, right? And that's how all that kind of comes about, whether it's pornography or alcohol or drugs or just whatever, doom scrolling, whatever it is. And so what would you say to that person before I ask you this next question? Because what do you do now when you deal with your pain? Because again, we all have pain.
The focus is another thing that's just miraculous about it. Like, I would say, you know, growing up, I'm a realist type of person. Like a lot of things have to. So growing up, I had these questions, you know, your parents tell you, you go to church, they tell you, but they don't actually give you the detailed answers to help your intellect, if I could put it that way. So I would have certain questions. hadn't read the Bible to this point. I would let the preacher do all that. That's what he's getting paid to do. So I never intentionally go and read the Bible for myself. Uh-huh. And after this, you know, after God confirmed this for me, you know, I just instantly felt I'm this old. I've never read the Bible. I'm going to make an intentional effort to do so. So I read it. I mean, read the whole thing in 6 months and really got to know him. And that hole that I had, that void, he filled it for me. That's one thing that I realized, like if he pulls that out of you, that void that's there, that you're continuously trying to fill with whatever it is, he will fill that for you. And when he, you know, your mind is set on him, you want to know more about him, you want to constantly feed yourself with stuff to feel closer to him. So he filled that void for me. And like, it's to the point that I don't think about it anymore. I mean, you know, of course, time for time, like you're going to be like, you know, cause you're still battling with flesh at the end of the day, but it's to the point where I'm not a slave to it. Like I honestly don't think about it anymore. He just showed that miracle to me to the point that like, I don't even, you know, I do things for stress because we still, you know, you still have stress, but to the point to where I would go to that is not even a thought anymore. He just filled that void.
Well, you've got so many stories about people you've encountered who had broken lives. You have experienced brokenness inside yourself as well. So you come up with this series, House for the Broken, and I'm just curious, how did that come about? How did the beginnings of those thoughts in regards to House for the Broken, how did that come about, and how did you, and why did you name it House for the Broken?
Well, it's just, you know, it all, like I said, a lot of this stuff is coming from the same moment. A lot of this was birthed, and you know, in the midst of all this, I would see Christians go through stuff. One of the questions that I always dealt with, you would always hear, God told me this, God made me do this or something like that. And I was wondering why he doesn't speak to me like that. You know, I'm thinking they're hearing this audible, you know, Moses, like, you know, God giving them a revelation. And I'm like, why am I being left out? And until I realized what that meant for myself. So just seeing Christians go through things, not have the answers. And I was like, man, I don't understand it. So it's, you know, reading the book for myself, one of the passages he continuously brought up was, And he's not going to dodge you from suffering. Suffering is mentioned in the Bible quite a bit. You're not going to, just being a Christian, you're not going to dodge these issues, but he will meet you in the middle of it. There's a lot out on social media and just people around me, you hear that question a lot. Why does a good God allow these things to happen? And House for the Broken is basically a mirror on that in a way. It's showing Christians, the pastor is following a pastor, is following a few of the congregants, and they're all going through something in their own way. And it's showing that, you know, just being a Christian, this faith walk with God, you're not going to dodge trials and issues. And it's just highlighting that and showing how they deal with that until they get to a point of redemption. Or some of them, they don't have a happy ending, but God was with them to help them endure through it. So it's just kind of showing that to people. It may be a non-believer out there who's on the edges and, you know, seeing another Christian go through this and another Christian go through that. And just kind of showing that, you know, the walk of being with him is what matters. You're not going to dodge. It's not like you instantly jump into a heavenly life as soon as you accept him, and just putting up a mirror to those different situations and aspects on this faith journey.
That's so good. It's so it's so refreshingly honest and transparent. And this is what we need in the body of Christ. So thank you for responding to God's call to lead you in that direction.
Yeah. And you mentioned the non-believer, and I was thinking that myself, like how powerful this could even be for a non-believer, because I think a lot of non-believers think that, Christians are supposed to be all got it all perfect and, you know, no sinning, like, or they wouldn't know the word sin, but you know what I mean? That they wouldn't fall short. And then they look at the Christian life and go, well, why would I want to be a part of that? There's so many broken people in there. Well, we're all broken. That's the point. So I love that. I love it. Well, I'm going to go back a quick, we'll kind of bounce back and forth. I want to go back to as a police officer, because you've seen some of the highest and darkest moments, I should say, in that career. And so what has that taught you about what people are really searching for in some of those darkest moments?
Well, one thing about being a police officer, you really see, because that's why I say it seems like God had these steps aligned all along, because I'm such a person that I have to see it to really understand it. And you see the brokenness in people. You see how, because one question I just put it out there. One question I would always wonder, this is before I read my Bible, you know, a lot of this is reading the Bible. You can get your answers. People out there, if you got a lot of questions, read the Bible. I promise
there
you
that. There you go. Drop the mic. Yeah. Read the Bible.
one of the questions that I always kind of struggled with was, why send Jesus? Like, you know, why, you know, I didn't quite understand the impact of the sacrifice for us. I accepted it, but I always wondered, like, why would you do that for us? Like, just get rid of us. Like, we just can't get it right. Just end it all. And one thing in particular I remember that kind of showed that point is dealing with this mother who had a child who was taken by addiction. And it got to a point there where, you know, she would constantly come and just constantly dealt with this woman breaking her heart. And it came to a point there, she just kind of washed her hands with her. I can't deal with her. She's not going to continue to steal and, you know, bring, you know, all this wrath around my home. I need peace in my mind. I need peace in my home. I'm done with her. I don't want her back home. If she comes, arrest her. So she kind of washed her hands with her. But I would notice that even though she didn't want her around, every now and then she would call in, have y'all seen her? Have y'all heard from her? Mm-hmm. So it kind of, in a way, showed God's grace to us. He loves us so much that even when we continuously disappoint him, even when he's angry and disappointed, he still found a way to redeem what he loved. He still found a way to set a plan to to make sure that we were right with him. Even no matter how far away we felt from him, it was a love that just could not be broken. So a lot of law enforcement just shows you that we are a broken world. Like anybody, I've seen it from pastors, ended up doing something and getting arrested. It's a lot of stuff that goes on that kind of just showed me firsthand how broken humanity is. Even if you're type of person, like, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a thief, you know, I'm not sinful. You know, as you know, Christians would claim that we are, like, we all are dealing with something, in one way or another. And I mean, everybody, I don't care what race, I don't care. I've seen it all around the globe, just how certain situations are going on through law enforcement. Is you can't see that unless you're in law enforcement. So you just kind of experience just the brokenness of society in one way or another, over and over again. And it's the perspective that you can only gain through this.
Yeah, so many lessons that you can draw from your police work and bring into storytelling that points back to God's grace and his goodness and his restoration. I just think
that's a divinely appointed career.
Seriously.
Such a time as this.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that he answered your question, the longing inside of you to know, Jesus, why did you have to do that? God, why did you send him? And then to show you an illustration of a real person and her love for her daughter. I just think, man, that's a phenomenal way for God to express himself. So you take all of that and you're turning it into a very creative storytelling process. So I'm just going to ask you, because it seems to me like there's a growing number of faith-based films and media projects that are coming out. You've got a real heart and soul with a real clear focus on what you want to do. What do you think might be missing from some of the other stuff that's being produced out there in today's faith-based media?
As far as making an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just authenticity. You have a lot of great filmmakers out there. I know for the longest, I did not like faith-based films. I felt like they were overly cheesy, overly
crazy. I'm with you.
So just trying to fill that void to where you can make authentic. Because if you look at the Bible itself, especially the Old Testament, it's some rough stories in there. Everything's
Seriously.
Not sunshine and, you know, so
really rough.
Like, we can kind of test that boundary and meet people where they are without being overly crude, or you can still do it in a tasteful way, but showing authenticity to the way that it relates to people more. And that's kind of where I feel the pull to do it. House for the Broken. It's not super gritty, but it does take it there on some certain aspects. No profanity or nothing in there, but it does show you some real situations, as probably I know it's a certain situation in there with one character, who's her past. She's trying to get over her past and she feels like she can't be redeemed. And she has a past in sex work. So you can kind of see that background, where a lot of people that see it, like, that actually happens like that, they still think it's a certain way because they've seen it maybe in person or in the movies. No, it happens like this, and this is happening under our nose every day. So it kind of shows that type of thing that a lot of people probably won't realize. And I'm just trying to highlight some of this within my work. And you're starting to see a lot more filmmakers kind of take it there and kind of show it a little bit more authentic, because you know, you could preach the gospel in a lot of ways. And that's another thing, just kind of trying to figure out how to be that, you know, how do I get people the gospel without overly preaching to them?
Yeah.
And that's a hard line to, because you just don't want to entertain them. You want to kind of put the gospel in there somewhere. You want to put the medicine under the dessert, you know, in that way. So you want to try to be, and that's the hard part as a writer, is how do I still glorify God? How do I still get a soul here without beating them over the head with it?
Yeah.
So that's the thing with faith-based work now. And I think it's getting a lot better. You have the Kendrick brothers who are doing some great work. And you have a lot more filmmakers who are starting to do some great work. But yeah, I just feel media is so powerful. I feel like our children are being targeted with media nowadays. Yeah. And I just, you know, I instantly felt the conviction to go to more media glorifying God, to get away from that and be a solution to that problem.
Mm, that's so, so beautiful. Good. And with what you're doing with House for the Broken and, you know, other Christian projects on that similar vein, it's actually helping to wake up the church too. Because a lot of times, you know, we're sitting around with blinders on and don't really realize what's like you said, right under our nose that's happening. So I love that. I guess this isn't even one of our questions that we were going to ask, but I'm just curious, is there one particular character that you can identify with most that you inserted into House for the Broken?
Identify most. I would probably say it's the lead character. His name is J.J. Childs. It's Jeffrey Childs. It's kind of an abbreviated name. He's dealing with some issues of shame. He's dealing with issue with his son, trying to you know, be a father to his son, but it just seems like his son is rebelling and going the opposite way. So I kind of would say I really relate to him and his story. You know, in some ways, a lot of his story is pulled from me because when I write, I kind of use experiences. I use experiences that I've seen on the job, experiences personally. A lot of my writing is just a pot of things of me, you know, I just find a way to put it in there. So I would say his character in the show, I probably relate to the most. And, you know, his story as a pastor dealing with weight of the ministry. I have an uncle, I have a cousin, I have two uncles and a cousin who are in the ministry. I have four people in my family. I have a lot of people that's in the ministry. I see firsthand the weight that they deal with. That's not, you know, seen a lot of. So I'm kind of helping people in the ministry kind of get a story out there to show the, you know, when everybody goes home, just the weight that they deal with on a daily. So I would say that character, you know, just from a personal aspect, from me and from people close around me, probably relate to the most. Mm.
Okay.
I think from what I'm picking up, and I can't wait till the series comes out. I mean, it just sounds like you're constantly emphasizing the reality that we are broken people, but that God isn't going to leave us that way.
God is near.
We just need that message over and over, because as a Christian, you tend to feel like you got to almost fake it so that others don't realize just how needy you really are. And that's really sad, because the reason Jesus is here is to give us that hope and that restoration and that empowerment to live that life. You've had a lot of experiences so far up to this point in your life, learned a lot of lessons. What do you think has been the biggest lesson that God has taught you through this whole journey of police work, filmmaking, ministry, and personal faith?
That's a great question. The biggest. I would, you know, just going back to that, I would say that having a relationship with him would probably be the biggest thing. Like now that I'm, you know, I've been on the straddling the fence for so long, now that I've gained a true relationship with him, it's like priceless. Like it's to the point that even, you know, I love filmmaking with everything in me. Like I feel like I was put on this earth to write. Like it comes effortlessly to me, like to get on there. So I know I've always acknowledged I had a God-given gift to write and to make films. But like it's to the point that I don't even care about it as much. Like that's how I know that my relationship with him is so valuable. Is I don't even care if I don't make another film. Like it's here lately, you know, I would be so focused on writing. And to be honest with you, we completed House for the Broken January of this year. And I haven't really written. Like usually I've written three or four movies by now, you know, just trying to keep the machine rolling. I've been so focused on getting to know him more. I've been reading a lot more, you know, finished the Bible, been getting into a lot of apologetics books and just researching, getting closer to him. So I would say my focus is just my the thing that, you know, the most is his my relationship with him, just getting to know him more, that I feel is well overdue. A lot of that is. I would say more than anything.
You know, it's almost like you're extending an invitation for each one of us on God's behalf to get closer. Because so many things can change. I mean, your perspective on things, you love filmmaking, but your love for God just overshadows everything you do. And that's a great reminder for all of us to pursue God and let our love for God and our pursuit of God overshadow everything else. Not that the other things aren't important, but when God is in the center of it,
everything just flows. Everything flows. And you don't have to keep running the machine. He runs it for you, right? Yeah. excuse me. Well, so I really am curious about what breakthroughs do you really hope that viewers receive on their, when they experience House for the Broken? What are you hopeful that they will experience on their own for their own breakthrough?
I just hope that they see, see the truth. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of beliefs out there, that aren't centered in Scripture. And, you know, now, you know, even it's been prophesied now to even where the, you know, Scripture itself is under scrutiny. Like, people are wondering if, you know, Paul is even a real apostle. Like, so you kind of see these things happening nowadays, but you just want to point to Scripture being the truth. And a lot of the stuff that we're going through, like that, just going through that book, it was so profound on me how this is not just something some people got together and write. This is supernatural. This is God breathed, like it literally says. And there's a lot of that that's in there. There's so much of the questions that we have. It's right there in there. Mm. And just this show, I want to show people, you know, you have questions, you have doubts. God can handle your intellect. He can handle you researching him out. Like, yes. The evidence that's is good. There. So if you have questions, you can go to somebody else. It's an aspect of community in here. You don't have to have this walk alone. Find you a church that speaks to you. You know, every church is not perfect. You know, you have something you don't like in every church, but find a group of believers that you can trust, that you feel comfortable with, and have a community so that you can lean on when you have questions, when you have issues going on. It's a lot of things in this show that I feel like people who are straddling the fence or outside looking in, you can kind of see the real aspect of Christianity to what it's meant to be. It's not meant to be a prosperity gospel where you got people who think, you know, hey, you can come in and, you know, all my riches overflow. Like, it's
none of that.
You know, you just kind of see the realness behind it. Yeah, and when you've been fed the truth, your expectations aren't elsewhere. When those expectations aren't met, it won't be rocking to your faith because you know the truth from the jump. So it's just an authentic view into a Christian life.
Man,
cannot wait to see the series.
Jaron, as we wrap up here, I mean, we just love your heart. We just really love the way you've pursued God. We love the way God has pursued you, you know, and how you're responding with this filmmaking. It's just awesome. Just as a place to sort of leave off here, if there's somebody who's listening and they're really feeling stuck, they're maybe ashamed of their brokenness, even they don't know how to be honest about it. They're discouraged and feeling far away from God. What would you want them to know?
Well, the enemy does his most work in darkness, in silence. So if you have a secret or shame that you're holding on to, that's where he does his most damage. That's where he whispers in your ear that you're not worth it. That's you might as well keep doing what you're doing. Like, you're not redeemable. So I would tell a lot of people just to face that shame, just to, you know, to be open about it. And God will heal you. He tells you he will heal you. You know, the light fixes the dark. He will heal you. You have to acknowledge it firsthand. Pride is a sin that he hates. Acknowledge what's going on, face what's going on, and pray and ask for help. And he will meet you. I promise you, he will. He showed me firsthand.
That's good.
I love
That's
it.
Good.
I love
Thank
it.
You.
Like Todd said, we just adore your heart and we love what you're doing. And we want everyone to go see House for the Broken. And so where do we learn more about you and to see the series?
I would say you can follow my company on social media, Cinema Ministry, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, if you're on all of those social media platforms. I'm kind of getting used to them myself. YouTube as well. And my website, www.cinemaministry.com. You can sign up to a mailing list on there. And we'll be sending out newsletters and stuff to kind of keep people updated with what we have going on. But yeah, I would just say for a start, follow there. The show should be available in late July on starting Tubi, Amazon, Roku. We're talking with some other platforms like Peacock and Paramount, trying to get it licensed
Fantastic.
There as well.
Oh, Lord, let it be.
Yeah. So we're trying to, you know, I'm just trusting God all the way. Wherever he wants it to be, it'll be. So, yeah, we're just looking forward to the release of this show and hopefully it impacts some people. And if it does, let us know. My reward is always to know that my work is impacted somebody. And, you know, if it made you look toward God more intentionally, I don't need an award in the world. It just lets me know that my work was effective and I'm on the right path.
Yeah, so that. Good.
I want to come hang out with you. Let some of that humility rub off on me.
Oh, Jared, you are a blessing, awesome. Man. Thank you so much. We wish you the best. We will be praying for you and your ministry and believing in all that God's got for you, your family, and for those that are watching. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All blessings, right. Brother.
Blessing.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.